Hi, this is Trent, and welcome to the 9th episode of the Tiltcast, Grapes and Bananas. Tonight we're going to be talking about Front Mission Evolved, Pac-Man Championship Edition, Vanquish, and Splatterhouse. We're also going to cover some news, as well as recap our last week's comedy and post a new comedy, and talk about our Fallout 3 spoiler cast. So stick around. All right, and to my right, I've got Justin.
Hey, what's up?
That was gay. In front of me, I've got Andrew.
Hello.
To his right, I've got Holly.
Hey.
And to her right, I've got special guest John Beecham from the Carousel Cast. His home address is 8556 South Peoria. That's 74102. 925-61 after 6 p.m.
Actually thinking sure that's
you,
right.
If you send any body parts in the mail, just make sure they're properly, you know, frozen.
And make sure
and labeled.
Make sure they're be spoiled.
Make sure they're female vaginas so he can wear them and fuck them.
Make sure they're STD free.
Because he doesn't want to give it to the children. Anyways. Alright, so John, since you're the special guest and you are on a time limit, what have you been playing this week?
Oh, wow, okay, you threw me off. first off, I've been playing Vanquish. I don't remember who made that, but I think Sega published it.
It's actually the guys that did Bayonetta.
Yeah. Oh, right, Platinum, Platinum Games. Bayonetta, Mad World. Pretty much, it's every bit as amped up as Bayonetta and Mad World is. It's a third-person perspective shooter that is pretty much made it so that I'm forever going to be bored with anyone else's third-person perspective shooter because it's so over-the-top intense.
It's so good!
isn't it like a fucking steroid version of like Gears of War?
I played the demo, so I would say actually.
Okay, I was about to say, I played Gears of War 1, but I didn't like it, so I didn't finish it.
It's a lot faster than the roadie run.
Yes. It's nice. You're fighting 50 to 100 robots, and they're evil Russian robots, too.
That makes it all that much better for you, since you're a big robot
democracy,
guy.
Yeah.
And all the guys in it, you know, talk with their overly gruff voices.
Yeah. No, I heard some of that voice acting.
Yeah,
sounds awful.
My favorite voice acting moment so far is during the demo, during the first mission, I guess it is. You go into this big room, and there's all these guys, and the boss shows up, and it cuts to the cinematic, and you're sitting there talking. Then it shows your guy without his helmet on with a cigarette in his mouth. Always with a cigarette in his mouth. And you told me, we'll get into what that's for. You told me there's actually a function for the cigarette. But one of the guys, just goes like, I guess I'm going to need a bigger gun. Just like, wow. That's
you get
bad.
Wonderful one-liners like that through the whole game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, like he says, ding dong, when he punches somebody in the
face. One of my favorite one-liners
is
you have the two main characters coming up on it, and one guy's like, so what does it look like to you? And the other guy says, you look like an asshole.
So it's like Grumpier Old Men Part 3, but with guns.
Yeah, it's so corny.
Nice.
But you don't go to this game for the story or voice acting. I mean, the voice acting doesn't even sync up with the little character pictures they show you.
Well, it's probably overdubbed.
Yeah, I mean, you go to this game for the action, there's not a single frame rate drop in this game. It is just balls to the wall intense. There's not going to be a moment where you don't have 50 bullets flying.
When I played it, my balls were definitely to the wall. and I love it. They're in that first boss that I played. He shoots out all these homing rockets, and there's literally like
200
of them,
yeah.
Like 200 fucking rockets, and the particle and everything, and the collision detection, everything was so great.
The thing that I was impressed with was the particle count on that is off the fucking
charts. Yeah.
There is so much stuff like going all over the place.
Especially when you go into your slowdown mode, and you can actually turn the camera around while you're slow-mo, and you can see around these objects.
Well, you see all the bullets flying past your head.
Damn.
Yeah, it's actually pretty badass. And like I said, there's no frame rate drop.
And I should mention, the demo is actually, I believe, the second stage of the first act.
Nice.
There are five acts in the game, and the demo is calm compared to the rest of the game.
Amazing.
So about how many hours have you put into it?
Right now, I'm about 4 hours, and I just finished Act 3. There are five acts, so this is still going to be a relatively short game, but should be, I'm guessing, about the length of Alan Wake. Maybe a little bit longer,
so
maybe
about,
not.
Maybe 8-9 hours?
Probably.
Nice.
I'd imagine if you went through the game without dying, you could probably beat it in the rumored 4 hours that they've been saying.
But it's pretty fucking intense, though.
Yes, I have died at least 20 to 30 times on each level.
Well,
and if you go through that game the first time without dying, then you need a whole new level of game for you, I think.
That's kind of like doing that 2-hour run on Resident Evil the first one, because you can actually exactly. do that game in 2 hours.
Really?
Yeah, if you, you just skip every cinematic, only grab what you need, don't shoot anything, and just keep running. So there's actually a YouTube video you can watch where the guy beats it in 2 hours and
Shows it. I hate whenever you can't skip cinematics in video games.
Yeah. Yeah, like I'm in the middle of Assassin's Creed 2, and then because somebody erased my game.
I did not.
Yeah, huh?
I just started playing on it.
Yeah, so. And she got like 8 hours farther than I was, so I have no idea what's going on. But I just got my assassin suit, so.
You know what makes me even more angry than cinematics you can't skip? Games that have one cinematic you can skip, but the one that follows it you cannot skip. Like Halo Reach. You can skip the intro cinematic for the mission when it goes into the whole mission start, because that's actually considered a level. And then it goes into Alpha Checkpoint. You cannot skip the cinematic for that beginning. That kind of gets on my nerves when I'm trying to speed play, like if I'm doing a daily challenge to kill like this many people in a certain thing. I can't skip past the fucking cinematic and just get the kills and be on my way. Even if I'm already beating it?
I did the same thing with whenever I played Enslave. It was like, there would be this long cinematic shit. And then I would end up playing, and then it would save, like, right before that. And then if I died, I had to go right back and watch the entire thing again.
Oh, I hate it when they do that.
Yeah. No skipping through.
Bad checkpointing.
So what else is there about Vanquish that we should... I mean, like, how much do you consider this a good buy for the prices? Because I think it's still $50-some-odd right now.
Well, this is going to make my top 10 list for the year. I'd say if you have a real big issue with how long games last, then maybe wait till it's 40 or 50. But personally, I really just want everyone to buy it now so they'll make a sequel. Because this game is just off its rocker nuts.
Is there any multiplayer aspect? Or
no.
Is there any customization of... Because I know you're wearing a suit in the game. Is there any customization you
can
do to
like
that?
Can you look like Snake?
Yeah. Because you already sound like him.
But, they modeled it a lot after Metal Gear with the way the character portraits talk. Pop up and talk to you and such, and you work for DARPA too.
Oh, nice.
But the level up system is actually just based on the weapons, and it's extremely unique. You know, you have probably 6 to 8 weapons in the game, and if you are full on ammo on a weapon and pick up another version of the weapon, it levels up.
Nice. Does it carry your ammo over for you?
Well, yes.
Nice. Okay.
But if you have used ammo in that weapon and you pick up another version of it, it will just refill your ammo.
Oh, okay. So you got to make sure you have full ammo on that weapon and pick up a new one, and it'll give you an upgrade.
And each weapon has about, I don't even know how many levels it has, but I'm going to say around 20.
Jeez, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Damn.
Like each time you grab one, it'll do things like it'll level up ammo capacity, level up damage. Occasionally, they'll gain like just an extra passive ability, you know, so you don't press an extra button to work it. It just automatically does
it. It just, like, ups how much ammo you can carry and your fire rate.
And most of the weapons in the game are, about half of them are fairly unique. You have one weapon called a disc launcher, which is basically a giant buzzsaw that hurls, buzzsaws at people.
So kind of like the Ripper from Dead Space.
Yes.
Because that one is a stationary sub, but you can also shoot it across the room. Yeah.
Well, this one shoots, and one of the upgrades basically makes it ricochet off its target and go back and hit it again. On top of
that's just evil.
There's target-specific damage that each weapon does. The disc launcher will cut the smaller enemies in half. Some of the larger enemies, like particularly in the demo, the first medium-sized robot you run into.
Yeah, in that big circular room.
Yeah, you can actually take off some of his limbs with the disc launcher.
Oh, nice. So it actually is sensitive as to where you shoot them.
Yeah, it will. I don't know that it's. I think it kind of just does it automatically.
Oh, okay. So not like Soldier of Fortune.
I've never played Soldier of Fortune.
It had damage specific stuff. So like you shot him in the arm, it was arm damage. See,
they've been big fans.
I haven't experimented with that because it's so moves so fast and everything like that. Mm-hmm. I've opted out of doing the sensitive targeting stuff.
See, they've been like that company's been really big on doing that damage specific. You know. Like with Resident Evil and 5, I mean, you shoot them in the kneecap, they go down on their knee. Shoot them in the arm, they go down their arm. You can actually knock weapons out of their hands. You can disable a limb, stuff like that. You know, so it's kind of a trademark for them.
You know, it must be to a degree, because I can't count how many times I've taken out some robot legs and they will start crawling towards me.
Yeah.
Sometimes at accelerated speeds to explode.
I find it creepy sometimes, like in Mass Effect, when the robots start crawling at you.
But
what about... like similarities though, because you've played Resident Evil 5, right. You've played Bayonetta, and this is their other title. What kind of similarities do you see that might be a trademark for them as well? Well,
really bad voice acting.
Shut up!
I've really only played the demo for Bayonetta and watched Susie play an awful lot of it. Bayonetta is more of a God of War, Dante's, and God of War, Devil May Cry type game, and they're more about. Well, no, I guess you could say this. The environments in Vanquish get absolutely insane in later levels.
Well, the whole city is like a circular type place from what I saw.
Didn't San Francisco like blow up or something in the first couple seconds?
Okay, this is actually funny because, like, yeah, the opening sequence is them blowing up San Francisco. And when I first bought the game and put it in, despite having played the demo already, like, they showed the opening CGI, and the opening CGI is terrible looking. Nice. Everything looks terrible about it. And then, you know, you get into the actual game and it looks better than that. Nice. But,
so the CD department needed some work, but the actual people that did it with the engine doing great.
The rest of the CGI looks great. It's just that opening sequence.
This feels like they kind of rushed it.
Maybe. Pretty much.
Maybe it was the last minute to do the intro.
But the environments... okay, I'm going to give away one of them. I feel bad giving it away because the shock of seeing this for the first time was absolutely amazing to me.
It was just two girls, one cup.
It's
that's where you're from.
It was that caliber. I showed my grandmother and she cried.
Well, pretty much, it's a train style level where you're on basically a flying cart with a couple other guys, and you have a couple ammo crates on you. Except it's going about the speed of a roller coaster. And then another one of these things pulls up next to you, and you're used to a level where you both stay on kind of the same plane and shoot at each other. Well, this one actually starts going upside down and around you.
Oh, nice.
Which is absolute madness at the speed this game is going. I don't know. I've never seen anything like it in a video game before. And they have several environments where they will take something maybe that you thought you had seen done well in another video game and
do it right.
Yes.
Is that part of it on rails, essentially?
Yes.
You can't really move around. You can.
Well, no, you move around.
It's moving for you.
You have a medium space in the area that you can move around.
Can you jump from platform to platform, or are you just on one platform?
You're just on one platform.
Okay. So you're imprisoned, shooting at things. No cover?
No, there's cover.
Oh, okay, there is cover.
There's always cover.
There is cover.
you can't survive that game without cover.
Yep. Well, now that we've covered coverage... Sorry. Anyway, now that we've gone over coverage and we've compared it to the other games. So you'd say this is one of your top 10 for the year, huh?
More than likely. Unless the last two acts just royally piss me off.
What if the story goes to complete hell? Will you still say this is one of your top 10?
There's a story.
Oh, there is? There's not.
So this is kind of interesting coming from you because you're usually very much big into story. So
yes, I. Well, this is like they took the live action movie Casser and added guns to it made it a covered base shooter that moved 90 miles per hour. I mean, this is
nice.
So it's kind of arcadey, basically.
I'm not sure what you mean by arcadey.
Just no story. You're not really paying attention to the story. It's all.
Well, the other problem is I keep talking to people while I'm playing it, so I'm really not paying attention. I know there's some evil Russian robots I'm fighting, and there's a guy with a similar suit to mine, except it can fly, and I fought him once. although one interesting aspect is, so far they've only used CGI to change the environment twice. For the most part, you're walking from one area to another constantly.
Nice.
Which is...
So you're Lord of the Ringing it. Just walking.
Well, yeah, but you don't really notice because...
You're like Viggo Mortensen. You're always traveling in a movie.
It's subtle changes. Subtle changes
I mean, keep in mind, basically you'll walk up the stairs and be in a new area. But
it's kind of like with Limbo, how they did the progression through it. You start off in the forest, you end up in the city, then you go underground. It's just subtle progressions.
And occasionally they'll throw a CGI scene. And I'm used to CGI scenes happening... And then they'll completely remove you from that area and put you in another one.
So you're just on an endless mission. You never go back to headquarters. Just
yes.
Endless mission.
Exactly.
No wonder he smokes all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, and the smoking is supposedly used to distract robots.
Now, you and I were talking about it, and you said you hadn't figured out how to do it, and I thought, well, maybe it's to throw off heat-seeking missiles, you flick it out, and it'll distract homing missiles.
Well, there's an achievement for destroying targets that are distracted by your cigarette.
Oh, so you distract them with it.
And I don't...
Maybe you wave at them with it.
Like when you have 50 robots coming at you with bullets kind of going everywhere, and your main goal is kind of crowd control with these things.
And they just all stop and go, hey, is that a joint? And then you just sneak up behind them and kill them.
Well, I mean, you maybe.
Seriously, this isn't cool. This gives you cancer, man.
Yeah. It's like, cool. It's like, I know we're here to fight and all, but I'm really worried about you.
I know.
I think you should come back.
Do you need me to buy you some patches?
Yeah. I got some Wellbutrin. Yeah. So it'll make you happy and stop smoking. Okay, anyways, go ahead, John. Sorry.
Oh, that's cool. I don't.
They're all heathens.
You only your cigarette throwing distance only is like 10 feet, maybe.
Oh, I can top that.
It's on his. Yeah. Point being is, it's barely any to really help you in the game.
Yeah, I can flick like 25. Like,
I'd need a distraction.
You don't have a mech suit.
Get a good arch. I know, and I don't have a mech suit. I guess that makes me better than a Gundam. Yeah, I got a power. My middle finger is a power pog right here. That I could flick a pinball through the machine with this, just bam.
I don't believe that.
Ask my ex-girlfriend. I broke her hip, if you know what I mean.
That's not a pinball machine, though.
I know, but it's still impressive.
Honestly,
yeah,
I wish the...
You know what I mean.
Yeah. I wish the Transformers game functioned more like this.
Now, you said Casher. Now, that's a game... That's a movie that I would love to see them make into a game.
I agree completely.
Yeah, that, with this type of element of gameplay, would be awesome.
I mean, the difference mainly would be take away his hand-to-hand combat and add guns.
And they're not Russian robots.
I mean, you have hand-to-hand combat in this, and it changes per weapon you use. You know, with the disc launcher, you saw someone in half, for instance.
That's always fun.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's nice, because with the robots, you get, you know, the welding sparks and stuff coming up.
Nice, nice. Well, what else have you been playing?
Let's see. What else can I talk about without ruining my podcast for this week? I got like 2 days to come up with something for my next podcast, so I mean, don't take offense.
Shamelessly plugging.
Just check the Nintendo DS list.
The GarrettZellPodcast.com. Yeah. Anyway.
Because we don't say it enough.
Which everyone but Andrew has been on.
Aww.
Oh, fuck you. And I'm done with this cast. Later, guys.
See, that could have been taken two ways. That could have been taken as a passive-aggressive invitation. But anyway.
Whatever.
You call me when I'm at drill. You're like, so you want to be on the show tonight? Can't.
Well, it was a last-minute thing. Anyway.
Which means you were his last option.
I know. Yeah. I know. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Been playing... I've been playing The Unlosing Ranger versus Dark Death Evil Man.
Is that what you do when you tie like a fucking belt
based
around
on
your
the
neck
title,
with a mask?
Based on the title,
off?
I'm going to ask, is that a Nintendo release?
No.
Okay.
Jankin' off?
Whose is it?
This is a Nipponichi game.
Yeah, but what console? What
PSP.
PSP. Oh, it's PSP. That's why. Okay.
Nipponichi is the company that brings out, like, Disgaea, for instance.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember the rest of their games, but they mainly do these really esoteric Japanese tactics games. Usually their tactics games, you can get up to, like, level 999 or something ridiculous like that.
So they've actually made PSP games longer?
Well, yeah, all their games are actually out for the PSP.
That's why
much.
I kind of got rid of my PSP, because every game I played on it was like 3-4 hours long.
Well, I mean, it is a handheld.
Play Baby's Mama's fucking cooking book. What do you expect out of
you
it?
Yeah, Babysitting Mama.
No.
Babysitting Mama and
Donut
Cooking
and
Mama.
And Donut. There's Donut Making Mama.
And seriously, yeah, Dead or Alive Paradise? I didn't think anyone bought that.
Jeez. Maybe I should go out and get another PSP. So
I'm thinking about a piss because I want the Ogre Battle.
You
want to
play
next year?
You want to play Death Junior?
No, that and Monster Hunter. I want to play Monster Hunter again.
Yeah, he's a big Monster Hunter.
Pretty much, if you want to play Japanese RPGs that take forever, but are mostly remakes of old Super Nintendo and PS1 games,
and
then
you
the
don't
PS
want a Wii.
Then the PSP is for you.
Yeah. Or you can just...
Well, they aren't remade on the Wii. They're just re-released.
You just go out and get a PlayStation and play the Megami Tensei games like we were talking about earlier.
I have them all.
Yeah, I know you do. Like, was it Nocturne and...
Well, that's the PS2 one.
Yeah,
if you want to go more old school,
one.
Then we can go Persona Revelations.
Yeah, Persona Revelations.
Persona 2?
Watch out. If you get him on Persona, he'll never
He'll never show up. Yeah. Okay. Leaving John.
Leaving John.
No, but yeah. No, so that's some fun stuff.
Yeah, so this game I bought because the premise sounded really funny.
What the fuck is it?
It's a comedy tactics RPG where you only get one player in your party.
So kind of like Leisure Suit Larry?
No.
Because that was a comedy tactics RPG to get him laid.
Pretty much,
it was. Main...
Okay, so you have the Unlosing Ranger is going to fight Dark Death Evil Man. And on the way, he gets hit by a car. And then
did a 2-year-old come up with this name or something? Because the Unlosing Ranger versus the Dark whatever.
It gets worse. It gets much worse. After he gets hit by the car, he gives his powers to the first person that walks by, which is you.
So it's like herpes?
You have to go... Yeah, evidently. You pretty much put on the suit, don't know what you're doing, show up to the fight with Dark Death Evil Man to save Super Baby.
What? God, man. Super Baby?
Yes.
Somebody's given up.
It's literally a baby.
In the developer's office, somebody has just given up on coming up
it's
with
like
names.
It's like Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus.
Yeah. Is it like Honey, I Blew Up the Kid Super Baby? Is it legitimately like...
It's just like a little baby.
It's probably the guy who came with the name Super Mario Brothers. You know, years later now down the road, he's just sitting in an office and go like, so, can you help us come up with a new name for the guys? How about Super Dark... evil dude with Super Baby, and how about the Unlosing Ranger? And they're like, even Stephen King just gave up. Yeah. Even Michael Crichton.
He's dead.
I know. Of course he gave up. He gave up. He's not dead. He's in the spear. All right? He's in Jurassic Park. Anyway.
So you show up to the fight, and you automatically die.
Oh, we're going on to this. Okay.
I was about to say, I can stop.
Keep going. He dies.
It's honestly, for a PSP game, it's really annoying because the intro is like 30 to 45 minutes long. And on a handheld, it's really annoying to sit through that much.
Are you liking the game?
Honestly, as funny as I thought the premise would be, it's a little juvenile.
It's kind of like me in Final Fantasy right here. It's like, I don't really like the game. I'm just beating it because I'm pissed.
I haven't decided if I'm going to play it again. Because the combat is interesting in that it's a tactics grid, but it's kind of almost a live action style gameplay.
Are you talking like Final Fantasy XII?
No, tactics like... combine Final Fantasy XII with Final Fantasy Tactics and take away the job system.
So basically, that's just saying you have like a timed system that you're using to... You got to get your skill in, otherwise you're going to lose it.
Except it's square-based. Basically, if you want to do a special move, it requires a certain number of squares to execute.
And you're on a timer.
No, that is your timer. Is the amount of squares you move. Like, say you have an enemy 4 squares away. I'm distracted.
So you had an enemy 4 squares away.
Oh, you have an enemy 4 squares away, and you want to cast a spell on him or something like that. So you cast the spell, and it starts prepping it. Then the spell will take 2 squares to do. So you move twice, and then you cast the spell whenever you're ready.
But you're still on a timer, right?
Well, no, that is the timer. There's no timer going. It's just
fucking squares, people. Squares.
It's based on movement.
Like chess.
I stopped paying attention like 5 minutes ago. We're still talking about fucking squares. And look at him. He looks like he's about to fall asleep.
I am. That's true.
Squares. Squares.
Okay, anyway. So you're beating him almost out of spite.
Well, I don't know about that. I just started playing, and I thought it would be a funny thing to bring up.
Square.
That's all I can say is squares.
Hey, you guys laughed, so fuck you.
They laughed when I brought up squares. Anyway, no. Anyways, so that's what you've been playing. That's what you've been playing. Yeah. You played a little Halo Reach, too, when you came over.
Yeah, and always a pleasure.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a really well-done game.
Halo Reach Around is always a pleasure. So, well, let's see here. Let's go ahead and move on. And we got Pac-Man, and not just any Pac-Man.
Pac-Man Championship
Edition.
Oh shit!
No, this game looks fantastic.
Yeah,
I sat there and watched it.
Actually, Holly, some of this.
Yeah, it's so epic. It's so awesome.
Like, is this the one
where you have like a bomb and stuff you can drop?
You got a bomb, but you're better off not using it if you can help it, because that means that many points you're going to lose on your ghost run. So,
well, it actually keeps them all in a line. It just reconfigures them somewhere else on the map.
It moves them to the middle.
Yeah.
But it has different styles. It has a soundtrack that is fucking thumping. I mean, seriously, that
thumping.
It is badass.
It's like
that magic pill's working.
You know?
It's like crystal meth or
something.
It's
like when I swallow that power pellet, dude, it's just like fucking 5 grams of ecstasy.
The shrooms are turning on me.
Yeah.
No, it looks like ecstasy.
I'm breaking through the fourth wall. At that point.
You really should play this.
What platform is it on?
only on Xbox Live Arcade.
Okay.
And how much is it?
$10.
$10. How many points?
800 points.
800.
So is this completely different from old school Pac-Man, then, I take it?
The concept's the same, except that you have a bomb. You got a trial mode that you can compare against all your friends, so you all can compare dicks.
So you're still a cheese
apparently
wedge
mine's still
eating,
the shortest, but
eating pellets.
Well, that's a common theme.
But, anyways.
I remember one of my nightmare moments as a child was when a friend called up and announced that he was over at some girl's house and there was another guy there and they both broke out a ruler.
Wow.
Wow.
Was this my ex-girlfriend?
Random side note, sorry.
Was this my ex-girlfriend?
No.
Lauren? Okay,
this was in high school.
That sounds like something she would
do. Or no, this wasn't even in high school. This was in grade school. It was this disturbing moment.
So they were pretty tiny, weren't they?
They didn't tell me.
So,
John's like, no, they're still huge.
I would have hated to be a fly on that wall. So
Pac-Man.
Yes.
Oh,
this is
that?
Really, really awkward.
Yeah,
it is. So, like, you got different color schemes, and you got, like, different Pac-Men.
Oh, yeah. Go on to that. You can actually change the theme. The coolest one I saw was that weird block one. It was, like, Type H, I think is what it was.
It was the one that was blocks. Really, really... It's not pixelated. It was just made out of squares, basically.
Yeah, it was, like,
squares.
Hollow squares. And it was... Yeah. It looked really fucking kick-ass.
It looked like something on an old computer or something.
It was, like, Tron on Ecstasy, basically.
But everything's, like, really bright and shiny and pulsating.
Oh, pulsating.
Really, but like it's very...
So it's
bright.
Throbbing. It's very throbbing.
Well, it does do that because, like, okay, so you go and eat your piece of fruit, and then the other
really?
Side... Yes. The other side of the screen changes. So you eat a banana, and then the left side changes, and then you go over and eat some grapes, and then the other side of the screen changes. And so, like, it does that to line out all your little pellets.
So is this
why
a
did you choose both grapes and a banana?
Is this a moral lesson? Is
why
this,
not,
is
like,
this,
a peach?
Is this a lesson about not eating food you find on the ground? Because ghosts will start chasing you.
And you turn into
really,
a big old yellow
really the idea,
cheese
though,
block.
To get your ghost combos, though, is to go wake up all the ghosts and have them follow you in the big train.
Oh,
the train.
And then you go eat your power pellet, and you turn around and eat them all. And it's really
epic,
too.
It was awesome.
Too.
It's so cute,
you
like, how
banana,
you
just,
run by them, or, I guess, chomp
well, they're
by
sleeping,
them.
Well, they're sleeping. They got
yeah, and then you wake them up, and they've got the exclamation point above their head. Yeah.
It's like Metal Gear.
Yeah, I know. It's a box.
It's like Metal Gear, just, you know. Funnier.
Pac-Man.
But yeah, so
oh,
like
the cardboard box thing in Metal Gear always made me laugh.
I always
so.
Like hiding people in lockers and like dead bodies in lockers and they'd be like, oh my god, when they'd open it up.
Bloody Valentine.
And I'd be like hiding in the locker waiting for them to open up mine.
Okay, Pac-Man.
Or in Metal Gear 2, you could just point a gun at them a really
Pac-Man.
Long time and they'd pee themselves.
Pac-Man.
Oh no. We talked about squares for fucking 10 minutes.
Pac-Man.
So anyways, Pac-Man. With Pac-Man. You're going by all these ghosts, waking them up, and then you come by and you're eating them all. And when you're eating them all, like, the more that you eat, like, the more epic the combo is. Like, the screen, like, it just keeps getting more loud and blingy. And it gets higher pitched, and it's more explodey. Or I don't know how to describe it. It's just, like,
it's basically like graping in the face.
It's like being graped.
In the face.
Little
in the mouth. I'm going to grape you in the mouth.
Little whitest kids you know reference.
Yeah, I love that one.
But, it's fucking epic. And you got the bomb. The bomb knocks them all in the middle. But it gets faster. Like, every time you eat a piece of fruit, it jumps up the speed.
Oh, and it shows your speed, too.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
And so it gets really fucking fast. And in 5 minutes, you know, I've seen there's some high scores over a million in 5 minutes, which is pretty fucking hard. I think I'm up to 800,000. Which was pretty fucking tough for me because I'm not a huge Pac-Man player, but I liked the game so much. I was like, I'm going to throw down 10 bones and buy this fucker because it is fucking amazing.
Where did you get the bones?
You gave him a deep bone.
Yeah.
A Hindu bone.
A boner.
But,
I think if you're going to talk about throwing down bones on money, ones would be a bone. A 5 set of bones would be called a boner, don't you think? And then 10 sets of bones
would be a ribcage.
It would be a ribcage, yeah.
A dinosaur.
Yeah. Unless you're a woman, and then it's 11 bones equals a ribcage. So, yeah.
So anyways.
I'd say that depends on how tall the woman is.
They all have an extra rib. Bitches.
Oh, I thought you were going a different route with that. Never mind.
No, I went the how women stole our rib.
Oh.
Yeah. The Christian way. The wholesome way. Pac-Man.
Going off religion.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
Pac-Man's the Christ figure, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you think Pac-Man relates to Christianity? Is he the Pope?
He's the fourth horseman of the apocalypse.
Really? So he's pest... No, which one is that?
War.
It's war. Okay, so Pac-Man is... I would always consider him to be the cheese wedge of pestilence, personally.
I'm not sure.
So, interesting thing about Pac-Man. Originally, it was named Puckman and Jap. No.
Shut the hell up.
Yeah, because they changed it because they didn't want people to scratch off the thing and make it Puckman.
Oh, one last thing that I was going to say about Pac-Man is before, like, you dodge an enemy really close and you just end up dying. This actually goes to, like, Matrix mode for a second. Like, it's like...
Like Max Payne.
Like Max
time.
Payne. You get bullet time because, like, you get too close at bullet times for a second. It gives you just a hair to change direction, which I think is...
And Justin needs all the hair he can get.
And what is just a hair?
Like a half of a second.
A quarter second.
Okay.
250
Does it change perspective, too?
No, just it sort of...
It circles around Pac-Man as it
dies. Yeah, so there's a 360 spin, and then you choose a direction.
I was just thinking that'd be funny.
But no, it really does go into like a bullet time thing, and it lets you gives you enough time to make a judgment call before you die. And at 50, speed 50, it's like you're fucking...
It's unforgiving.
It's really unforgiving. It's really fucking fast.
Is this the like same view as the original Pac-Man, or did they change it around?
A little bit. They changed around a little bit.
Well, they took it from being tall to being widescreen instead.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah,
they
just flipped it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, I think it looks fantastic.
It's
I was
really
good looking
arcade game.
Yeah, and you just have like the different modes that you can choose.
And you also change the setting for was it like amateur and then,
it's like amateur, beginner, normal, and expert. So your basic stuff, but it's got all the leaderboards you can compare. You know whoever the top guy is, or your friends or whatever, which I think's cool.
Have you looked in to see if they're going to release any DLC for this? Like maybe new maps to go through and stuff?
I don't know, but I've been unlocking maps as I've been playing it, so...
How many maps total do you have right now?
I have three.
Three.
Well, that's because I was reviewing...
Whoa, overachiever.
I was reviewing other things.
Okay.
Well, and I was playing the same level over and over again to try to beat my score,
my
so...
My ball's against your face. So, two thumbs up.
He's a teabagger.
Yes, I am.
So, do you think everybody should get this game?
Anybody that likes Pac-Man, this is three times as good as Pac-Man.
What about
ever
people
been.
Who despise Pac-Man?
Should give it a try.
Yeah,
they should give it a shot. Grab the demo, check it out.
Sounds kind of like a raver version of Pac-Man.
It is.
If you haven't noticed, everything they've been doing that is retro games, they've turned into raver type games.
It reminds me of that old joke of how did it go? Well, of course video games didn't affect me as a child. I mean, do you think for playing Pac-Man I'd be dancing around in dark rooms, eating magic pills, listening to electronic music?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I do that, though.
Wasn't that from a...
It's a shirt.
It's been around since high school, dude. I don't know where it originated.
But anyway,
they probably pulled off that.
Yeah, they probably pulled
I'm
off
pretty
that.
Sure this was before webcomics.
Probably.
Before the internets were popular when we were in high school.
The internets?
This might have been more than one.
That makes you sound even older than you are. Intro.
There's more than one?
The interwebs.
Yeah, the interwebs. Because there's more than one, you know. So
I guess there's spiders, too.
I think it was past the BBS phase, but before...
Sounds like a plane is
going to crash
inside of the house.
I think it's about to.
That sounds like a plane going down.
If you can hear that on the podcast, there's a plane that's going down.
That actually sounded like it was going to... Anyways, okay, so moving on. I'll do it myself in front of all
explosion.
Of you. I've done three things this week. One was... Yeah, I'll get to that.
Backstory.
I was going to call your mom up on speakerphone.
Okay, that's
that.
Cool.
Anyways, I played Front Mission Evolved. I finally got around to playing some more of that.
I think that's important that we talk about that.
I'm more of a backdoor mission... Unloaded.
If he'll let me talk about it, I will.
He's the one commenting on people interrupting what he says. Okay, now I understand.
Anyways, but Front Mission Evolved, not Back Mission Evolved. So
Back door opened.
Unloaded
with Steven Tyler. No, I actually so I have a little ragdoll reference, but to be honest, okay, I personally have a vendetta with Square Enix now.
Because of Final Fantasy?
Because this is also one of their games, okay? Just like Final Fantasy XIII, gameplay is pretty fun, but the story is complete fucking shit. And this story, you play this this kid who is a mechanic.
Of course it's a kid.
Well, no, he's like he's like 20-something.
Oh, okay.
But he works as an engineer.
Young bucks.
Yeah. But he works as an engineer that makes, you know, Warzers, which are the mechs in the game. There's always been
Bonzers.
The mechs in the game. Yeah, Wanzers. But what happens is you're trying out this new system called Edge. and you're about to do a demonstration when all of a sudden the city is attacked, and you decide to take the prototype unit you've been working with out of the demonstration to go and rescue your father. You get there in time to watch the whole place blow up. Not a big story twist there. Okay, that's the point of the story, is you getting vendetta for your dead father against these guys. Bitch part is, every time you run into the guy who's responsible for it, you never kill him. You bring him like an fucking inch within death, and he just goes, well, it's been fun sparring with you, and then he takes off. I'm like, douche. I want revenge.
Well, that's like every game ever.
Not all. I mean, in Resident Evil, most of the time, it's like, you killed a motherfucker, and it was dead. Very rarely did it come back, unless it was the giant
Nemesis,
snake from Part 1.
Wesker.
Wesker.
Yeah, Wesker and Nemesis, to just keep going.
Yeah, but you can't really kill
it's
Wesker.
It's just constant in video games.
Actually, in Part 5, I think I pretty much fucking decimated Wesker.
I remember in Part 5 is that I enjoyed it. I don't
he
actually
falls
remember
in a lava
the enemies.
Pit and dies, basically. I still think they have clones, though. That's my point of view on Resident Evil 5. But you're just thrown against all these fucking enemies that are main in boss fights. They just never die. They just keep coming back, and each time they're stronger. And it's not that they're harder. They're just more fucking annoying. They just pull out these asshole attacks that pretty much wipe your shields out. Not even shields, it's armor. Once your armor in the center torso turns red, once that goes down, you blow up. There's
no
way around
self-healing,
it.
Self-healing, or do you have to take it
to a certain degree, it'll reheal.
It?
Yeah. To a certain degree, it'll regenerate. Other times, you actually have to grab an armory upgrade, which will respawn during boss fights after, say, 30 seconds, mm-hmm. which that might not seem very long, but when you're in an open field with nowhere to hide, and you're just constantly taking rocket fire, you know.
I got a question. In the old Front Mission games, which were, of course, tactics RPGs, you could very much equip your mech for more heavy damage absorption and close combat, or you could make it more about speed and distance.
They still have that.
A lot of the customization from the old games.
Oh, yeah, they have a lot of customization, and that carries over to the multiplayer, which I was going to talk about. In the end game, you actually update your Warnzer every time you go on a mission. You can buy new torso, legs, arms, new weapons, and every, like, basically your torso piece is your main part, because that's where you need a lot of armor. You have a backpack as well you can carry on, which will speed up your agility, make you run longer and faster, or you can get a repair backpack, or you can get a power upgrade, which allows you to carry more stuff.
Do they have the shoulder mounts, too?
Yeah, they have shoulder mount rockets.
Is that dependent
those
on
come
the
in handy.
Chassis?
No, it's not dependent on the chassis. You can fit them on any.
Oh, they don't have weight requirements for
shoulder mount stuff? No. They have weight requirements for them. What I'm saying is that the weapons you can carry on your shoulders are not dependent on the torso piece.
How big are these mechs? Are they like giants, or they
no,
just
they're not
oversuits?
They're like, what, 2 stories tall?
Yeah, I'd say about 2 stories tall. I'd say about 20, 30 feet tall.
So you just chill out in his chest or something?
Yeah, you just chill out in the chest. And they're not that hard to blow up when you're on foot either. You would think they'd be tougher, but, you know, 3 rocket launcher blasts and they pretty much drop. So,
is it third person?
Yeah, it is third person the entire time. They did add the part where you actually go EVA out of the unit and you're walking around with the gun going through certain missions, and even then that's not that hard. There's no real health packs. Your health just regenerates over time, and it's really fast.
Now,
so,
this is a little off subject on the game, but in previous games, I think in almost all of them, I know in Front Mission 3 and 4, you came to a point where you could actually switch protagonists, and they'd always have a female and a male lead. Do they have a female option in this too, or a secondary protagonist?
Right now, the way it goes is that when you start the game, you play this guy. I am probably about, I think I have 3 missions left, and I have not switched characters.
Okay.
They do have a female lead, though, as well, that's a partner unit joined up with, because basically you're an engineer, but you get recruited into the army.
Yeah.
Because you're like one of the only guys left who knows how to fucking drive.
Well, I don't remember the countries' names, but they're always about these two particular countries that want to blow each other up that suspiciously look similar to Korea.
This one, it's actually, they broke it down to where it's actually kind of confusing at times, because there's 6 different abbreviated organizations.
Yeah.
As always, and they bring them up constantly, and you're just like, okay, wait a second. So the USC is versus the NFA versus the what the fuck's going on?
And it's always 2 of them that are just like 1 letter apart are the ones that want to blow each other up.
Yeah, that's the one that really pisses me off.
It's a bitch.
Yeah, and so the story, you're like sitting here going, okay, so obviously somebody is hiring all these organizations to basically front them, and attack the city and do something here and there. And you're just like, which organization's which? You still don't know. Because the guy who goes on about them never makes any sense when he goes on about them.
Hmm.
You're just like, what the fuck? Also, his mech looks like a gigantic flaming prince. It's just really dumb looking. But it's really hard to tell anything that goes on. And they shove you in constant tag team matches where it's you versus two mechs who have two totally different approaches on how to take them down as well as how to hide from them. And that makes it really hard when you got one that just runs up and likes to melee the crap out of you and hit you with a shotgun, while another one likes to shoot rockets at you while you're running and trying to hide. So it's kind of a challenge. 20% challenge, 80% just annoying as shit. You know, but if you're
that sucks.
Yeah, but if you're a big fan of Front Mission, I mean,
I'm eventually going to check it out. What price point would you put this at?
$15.
Okay.
Yeah, not to be a dick.
Not even 20?
No, maybe 20. Maybe 20 if it's new. 15 used. But okay. It's my vendetta with Square Enix is that the games are pretty fun, but the stories are total crap. They need
it
to get
used to
their
be
ass.
The direct opposite.
Well, that was when it was Squaresoft.
Are you worried about Deus Ex then, since Square Enix owns... I mean, they're only the publisher on it.
Yeah.
They're not the developer.
I don't want to think about them ruining Deus Ex, because that's one of my favorite game series.
Well, and that game looks fairly amazing.
No, it does. I already have it pre-ordered. So
I'm just waiting to hear about the pre-order bonuses before I do.
I'm actually not even going to bother with the pre-order bonus. I'm just going to get the goddamn game and play it. I don't care what it comes with.
Oh, I'm definitely buying it. I'm just, if they have like a limited collector's version or something.
The only limited I'm grabbing so far this year has been Dead Space, because it comes with the plasma cutter replica gun. Plus you get some add-ins. So, but yeah, it's kind of a whatever game. And if you want to pick it up, like I said, yeah, $15-$20, that's fine.
We'll rent it.
Or rent it, if you feel like wasting the money on that. But yeah, because you can just buy it probably for around the same price later on.
I feel silly because I own all the American release Front Mission games, but I've yet to beat a single one of them. But they always go down in price extremely fast. Well, I picked up Front Mission 3, I think, for $20 or $30. And then Front Mission 4 I got for like $5. And then Front Mission 1 I got for like $20.
Yeah.
I just keep bargain hunting them.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just one of those things where I grabbed it through Gamefly, so I'm not really missing out on too much, and I'm sending it back this week. So, because I'm three missions away from finishing it. The customization is pretty cool. The matchmaking, like multiplayer, is not bad at all. It can be pretty fun at times. So, and that's all I'm going to talk about for my games. The only thing I did this week was Halo Reach, of course.
Yeah, you've been on that every week.
Yeah, been on there pretty much every day. And I bought a Wii.
Oh, hey, yeah, you know, what? We found out two things about the Wii, didn't we?
What did we find out?
We could listen to the podcast on the Wii.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then
yeah.
What is the other thing we found out, Trent?
I don't remember.
You could check out porn on the Wii.
No.
Really?
Okay, you cannot. Okay, we were joking.
Is it interactive?
I forgot. We were, there's a web browser you can put on there.
It's actually Opera.
Yeah, it's Opera. And I was like, I wonder if we can listen to the Tiltcast. And I was like, okay. So we go on there and we go to the page and it actually loads up the MP3
the
files.
Part.
Yeah, and streams it. And I can also download them. So, and I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. And I said, I wonder what else this thing can do. I said, I wonder if it does video playback. And I couldn't think of, YouTube was the only thing I could think of, but that's an actual built for, you know, Wii type website. It's streamed just for Wii. So I was like, well, what about just random stuff? So I thought, okay, let's go to a porno website. So we went to just some random
porno
video.
The first thing in your
hub.
Mind.
We're not going to say who the website was because we don't want to advertise that. But we go there and I'm like, okay, let's see if this plays. It was loading, but it didn't get the video playback thing
up. I was wondering if it just didn't have enough RAM or something.
Yeah,
it was dicklicious.com, wasn't it?
No, it was straight porn. But is dicklicious straight porn? I don't know.
I have no idea. Okay, I have just chicks with dicks.
Well, then you should know, shouldn't you?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Chicks with tails.
I've seen your browser bar. Anyway, but yeah, so it can possibly load them.
Monkeygirls.com.
So those Wii fans out there, if somebody's taking up the computer, roommate, something like that, you can use your Wii to jack off.
This is to all of the grandparents and little kids that play the Wii.
Just consider it nunchuck practice for the Wii.
You've seen that Saturday Night Live skit with, I forgot his name, the guy from 30 Rock, Adam Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin.
Baldwin.
Yeah. What did you call him?
You call him Adam.
Oh.
Sorry, that's a guy from Firefly.
Out of all the Baldwins, there actually is none named Adam.
Well, right. There's Billy. An Adam Baldwin that's not related to them that was in Firefly. But.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Anyway, yeah, they had a skit, actually, where he has two sons playing the Wii, and they're playing some Wario game where they basically have to make a jerk-off motion.
Kind of like No More Heroes. So,
yeah. Well, No More Heroes is pretty blatant about it. In this one, they're implying it on a Nintendo product. But basically, it ends up with Adam Baldwin grabbing two Wii remotes and doing the jerk-off motion, except he's doing it in front of his son's crotches.
It's kind of disturbing. God.
It's not his real kids, right?
No, it's a Saturday Night Live skit.
I'm just making sure. Okay.
They're adults playing kids.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Tracy Morgan. You're like, no.
With a hat with a propeller on it.
Yeah. That's fucked up. Okay. Well, off of the Wii, we're going to go to the main story for the night, and that is going to be Justin, and that's going to be Splatterhouse, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Got a Splatterhouse the other day, and to be honest with you, I got a lot of mixed feelings about it, but I'm going to talk about the good things.
Okay, do so.
The good things about it, very highly stylized. It's pretty damn campy, so I mean, it's as campy as the old games were.
Mm-hmm.
There is a whole lot of blood.
Like, well, it is Splatterhouse.
So. Massive amounts of blood.
They're not talking
like,
about paint.
No, I mean like blood splatters the camera screen, which I thought was kind of cool. But and then he got all these little gruesome kills or whatever, blah blah blah. But
how gruesome? Like, because that's a big opinion thing.
You can pull a guy's torso off his legs
and then use his arms to beat everybody else to death, right?
Yeah, you can pull his arms out of their sockets and use them to beat other guys.
Nice. I saw you actually decapitate somebody with their own arm one time.
Yeah, no, it was with
Jesus.
His tail.
No, the guy with the whip arm, and you wrapped it around his head, and you actually pulled it.
Okay, yeah, I guess it was his arm.
You pulled it so tight that his head popped off.
And then I used his head as a weapon.
So, whenever...
Recycling.
I don't know, I saw you play it for like 5 minutes. Is it always the black and white, or is that
it starts
rage?
Off, it's a rage mode. So it starts off in rage mode, and he's like, oh, this is too much, I can't do this. And so you're basically back to level square one.
Okay.
So, and after that, it's all in color. But,
you don't have to worry about it being black and white and a headache.
So basically, you'll eventually get to the point where you can do the rage mode with black and white.
Your arms turn into like big bone.
Yeah,
like
you
swords.
You just couldn't do it right then. So the mask took you back to.
Yeah,
the
mask takes you back, but it's kind of goofy story. I mean, story's never really been really strong in Splatterhouse, so I won't harp on that too much. But essentially, you're a college student with your girlfriend, and you're getting ready to propose, and you go to this
Evil Dead.
Yeah, and you basically go to a mansion for some kind of like ad you saw on the college paper,
isn't it? I thought it was for medical research type.
Yeah, some kind of like
research or something like that.
Yeah, and then things go to shit, and mad scientist captures your
Dr. West.
Yeah, captures your girlfriend, and then you got to go back and you got to save her, and then you see the mask, and the mask tells you, hey, if you wear me, you know, you'll live, and you might be able to, you know, get your girlfriend back, and so you do, and then you become the Hulk. And
that happens so often.
You don't turn green.
I hate it.
Cool things though. When you're damaged, parts of your body start showing. So that sounds weird. You like, okay,
I know what you're talking about.
So like, start falling out.
You take off a health square, and like his ribs are showing. Like his bone ribs are showing. Get a lot of damage. Your arm falls off, which is kind of cool.
Sucks.
Well, you can use it as a weapon though.
Do you pick it up and put it back on, or something?
You can pick it up, start hitting people with it.
Yeah.
You do regenerate your limbs, so you hit a button and do a bunch of button presses, and then like you start sucking the life force out of everything around you. Central theme is blood, so I mean there's a shitload of blood. It's just you're painting the walls with it.
So this is one of those games that the people down in California would be really offended by.
Oh yeah, I think it's trying to offend, to be honest with you.
Well, it's Splatterhouse. That was always the point.
It looked kind of cartoony to me from the previous.
It's cel shaded. It looks like they're using the same engine they used for Borderlands.
Well, I mean, like, a lot of the bodies kind of looked almost like they were from a Pixar movie or something.
I wouldn't put it that far.
Okay. That was one of my big worries, is that they made it look like this little kid thing, and a little kid thing with the gore fest, I don't think that'll do it.
I don't think there's
like
really anything little...
Like
the animation for the cutscenes?
Yeah?
For the people, kind of looks a little bit Pixar. For the monsters, not so much.
Okay, that's what I was actually... That must have been what I saw.
You saw the people. The people looks like they were done by Pixar, only in the CGI. Hmm. The actual gameplay, though, looks like they're using Exact Engine for Borderlands. It's all cel-shaded. It looks like hand-drawn textures.
Okay.
But the blood is very CG. So, I mean, like, you punch a guy and blood splatters and it hits the screen and you're actually... The blood is actually translucent enough so you can see through, but it's just blood all over the place.
I just got rid of hiccups.
Sorry, he looked like he was about to throw up.
No, I had the hiccups and I got rid of them. It was a task.
I'm proud of you.
I know.
It was an endeavor.
Yeah. I saw him cheering.
So part of the other cool thing is it does turn into a side-scroller some of the time, like a 3D side-scroller. So you're traveling down a hall, like avoiding obstacles like the old games, and then like you hit a guy and he splats across, like I was hitting a guy with a piece of lead pipe. And it splatted him on the screen that I was, you know, viewing through. So it looked like it splatted on the other side of my TV.
Yeah, that's from the old games.
And I was like, that was fucking cool. And all the little traps and everything else. The problems that I'm having right now with the game, though, is the frame rate can be atrocious at times. And the controls can be really, really fucked up. So, like, you're trying to jump to something. You have to look for a shiny piece and you jump on it and then it doesn't quite do it. Or you're jumping and like he just like stops in midair. You were seeing me do that. I was trying to jump over these spikes and I just stop in the middle there and then drop on the spikes.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So the jump mechanics are kind of fucked up at times. And then the frame rate suffers sometimes when there's a lot going on. So, and I think maybe that's because they're using the Borderlands engine, I guess.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, what about the camera angles?
Not really having a problem with the camera angles, actually. It follows you pretty well most of the time. You can rotate it.
It doesn't just like automatically move on its own?
It does most of the time, but sometimes, like, if I'm going back and it's not moving fast enough, I'll spin it around real fast.
Okay.
So it's most of the time it's following you.
Is this a linear game?
Yeah, there's not a lot of exploration. It's very linear.
Do you think installing to the hard drive would fix the frame rate drop like Borderlands had?
Or? I really should have tried that, but I just didn't think of it.
Well, honestly, wouldn't be surprised. It wouldn't surprise me if this was just a broken feature of the game, because midway through development...
we heard a lot about the shit that was...
They fired the original company that was making it and brought in a new company, and they just kind of finished whatever was there.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And you said the loading screens are like 30 seconds
long. Oh, yeah,
long
I forgot to mention about that. So there was a part where I was dying over and over again because the jump mechanics were sucking. And I have to sit there and wait through this like animation. So it loads, but you don't know how long it's going to load. So you see this like monster yelling at you, blah, 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 moving around. And he's all like groping and being all fucked up. And you just got to sit there for, like, a minute while this monster is fucking around with you while you're waiting on this little scene that's going to, you know, this little part of the game that you're probably going to die over and over and over again on that takes you, like, 10 seconds to die and then a minute to load. So I got stuck on that for a little while and just about threw my damn controller at the screen.
Wow.
So that's one of the things that kind of sucks. One of the things that's kind of funny, though, the dialogue in the game is not very well acted. But the mask talks to you through the whole thing in a very gamey kind of way. So, I mean, it's telling you, like, hit continue, pussy. Or, you know, it starts fucking with you, like, even when you die. And so it's, like, constantly, like, berating you and belittling you while you're playing, like, oh, you suck, blah, blah, blah. Oh, that was really good.
Gotcha.
And so, which I think is kind of fun and kind of unique, kind of like that Evil Dead game that came out. But
that game was actually pretty cool.
That game was pretty cool. Two more things I'm going to say about it real quick, and then I actually want to get some of your commentary, John, is you find pictures of your half-naked girlfriend, which is kind of witcheresque. That's the collectibles. It's piecing together pictures of your girlfriend topless, basically.
Gotcha.
Do you actually see it topless?
Yeah.
Wow.
There's nipples.
Self-shaded nipples.
It's drawn nipples. And you
those
get
are
all
my favorites.
There's a
you think the artist jerked off to it as he was drawing it?
Maybe. They're pretty detailed. But
show some respect. They're not all perverts.
But the other thing is...
You're collecting topless pictures.
Of your girlfriend.
Of your girlfriend. I think...
Well, you're running around with a mask on doing sadistic things.
Obviously, a good chunk of the team is perverts. So.
Like Team Ninja.
Suck it up.
But so there's that. There's a survival mode, which I was actually doing pretty good at. Beat two of the rounds already through all 12 of the challenges. And then there's a... the three original games that are unlocked as you play the game. So when you buy this or rent it or whatever, you get Splatterhouse 1 and you beat the first couple of levels, Splatterhouse 2, when you've beaten some more, and then when you finish the game, you get Splatterhouse 3.
Ah, that sucks, because Splatterhouse 3 would be the one I'd want to play most out of those.
So you got to beat the game, and then, you know, there's another unlockable mask, I guess, that you get if you beat the game. But, yeah, the actual 2D side-scroller stuff, I went through and played some of that, and I was like, this looks just like fucking Sega.
So it follows a lot with the original?
There was not much of a story, but there was always that theme of, like, splatting enemies and using weapons and things like that, and there's a whole lot of that. So yeah.
You just prove you're a really good smasher. That's all you do in the originals.
I was about to say, the originals were... Because I've played all three of them. The original one was for TurboGrafx System 16, or the PC Engine, and I've only played that on emulation. I haven't played too much of it.
You can get it on Wii. No,
yeah, me and Trent were
market.
Looking at that. They got all three on Wii.
Maybe
yeah.
That's what I bought it for and played it at.
Probably, yeah. I think they have it underneath the TurboGrafx menu.
Two and three were for the Sega Genesis.
Yeah, they have them both on there, too.
And so it's pretty much exactly what you described in the side-scrolling levels for part two, is you're occasionally hit with a platforming piece, and mostly you're getting guys, and if you pick up like a bar or a bone or something... You can chunk the enemies into the camera, and they're splat on it, and then slide down. So
it was campy, but it's pretty fun. I don't know what to rate it because I obviously haven't beat it.
How much would you pay for it if you were buying it for yourself?
$40.
$40.
Is that as a fan or just in a general?
I'd say as a general consumer of things gory and horrible. I would
B-rated horror movies, basically.
Yeah,
an old grindhouse.
I'd probably have
Hammer films.
I'd probably have a lot of fun with it, but I'm probably not going to pay a full 60 for it. I'll probably pay 40.
See, okay. Like whenever I went to work today, and no one bought that game. Like people are still buying Black Ops and Reach.
Well, because it's getting such shitty reviews, and that's why I want to throw this out there that it's a. If you're a fan of the game, I think it's probably worth $60. You get all three of the games.
Yeah, I was about to say, even with all three
personally,
of the games,
I've never
40.
Actually played Splatterhouse before, so my first impression of it is I saw the trailers from E3, and then I, you know, when I played this, I unlocked some of the games. I was like, oh, this is pretty fun. It's got a little bit of problems with it. Maybe that'll fix itself with installing it, but...
Also updates.
Yeah, and I think it would be nice if somebody bought the game. I don't think it's...
It's a have to. You go out there.
I don't think it's a Castlevania.
Well, it's a franchise that hasn't seen a sequel in 15 years.
Right.
Namco is the one that.
It's
put
a
it
Namco
out.
Game,
yeah.
too, and
yeah.
you ought to support Namco.
Yeah, they've been around for fucking ever.
They're
dude.
Fucking godfather game programmers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I don't know. If you're a fan of the series, go pay $60 for it.
Like,
get it.
Graphically, the thing I can think of to compare it to the graphics and textures, is it's got the cel shading like Borderlands, but I was thinking about it, and graphically. And even gameplay-wise, I'd have to compare it to Batman Arkham City. I mean Arkham Asylum.
Oh, you
it
mean
has that?
It's pretty seamless on the combat.
Yeah, it's got
the combat
that
is
same
actually very good.
Combat style, but also the textures on the enemy, especially during that loading screen. They have the same type of theme and appearance that they have for like the mutated Joker's henchmen, the Bane ones and stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they look so much like them, and the texture and the detail and the grossness and slime. And while you're playing the game, it's real reminiscent of Batman gameplay.
I wouldn't say the combat is as good as Batman, but I would say that it's definitely getting pretty close.
There was a lot more you could do in Batman than what I could.
Batman is a little bit more seamless, but it had a better frame rate deal. So, but yeah. Splatterhouse for just a brawler is a pretty good game, and there hasn't been a brawler out in forever.
Honestly, to me, I mean, just even paying $30-$40 would be worth the original games to me. So. And well, that was something I didn't know about. And honestly, just from hearing you talk about the game, where previously I was not interested at all because I thought it was going to be kind of toony, now I'm actually probably eventually going to get it after a price drop or two.
When I get it, and you borrow it and try it out. And I mean, it'd be better than paying, what is it, like $8 on Nintendo on Wii for each game?
I'd rather play it on the PS3 or 360 than the Wii, so...
Yeah, but I mean, instead of paying $24 for all games, just get that plus a new game for $60. I mean, they've thrown some extra value in there with all the old games.
Well, and the third Splatterhouse is really fascinating because it's actually kind of a open world side scroller in that you're in a time limit in the house and you have to figure out where you need to go, which was extremely hard but very inventive, I think, for the time.
Speaking of open world stuff like that, when are you going to get... Harmony of Despair, so I can have somebody else to play with. Because, you know, Andrew. Cocksucker.
Dude, I'm still I'm still catching up on the games I bought over the past month or two.
I know, there's a lot of stuff coming out. And then we still got next month, got Tron.
Oh, yeah.
Epic Mickey coming out here very soon.
Next week.
Yeah. I'm thinking about picking up Epic Mickey.
I'm
I think we're all kind of hyped about that, and I was the one dogging on it, and after looking at all these previews, I'm kind
of... Oh, yeah, you
It's by the creator of Deus Ex.
Yeah.
Came up with a really interesting storyline for it.
We were watching the whole gameplay with the paint and the thinner, and you're going around fighting enemies, and I was just like, this looks like it'd be a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
It looks dark, and...
Yeah.
I kept thinking
it's because you're in a twisted version.
I keep thinking it's funny they call it the Wasteland, but I was telling Trent, I was like, it's a really stylized Wasteland.
Yeah, it's really stylized. Disney Wasteland.
It's not quite Borderlands. It's more like Fantasia.
It's supposed to be from Peter Pan and before. Like, it stops at Peter Pan, because that was the last movie that Walt Disney was alive.
Actually on,
Yeah, and they're asking Warren Spector if they're going to do another one. He's thinking about doing it from, like, Peter Pan and forward.
Yeah, which is also why they brought in...
Epic Goofy?
Yeah. But that's also why they brought in Blot, the original rejected,
before
Mickey Mouse came around. Yeah, basically this one... I like it best when Spectre was talking about it. He said this is basically the wasteland where all the rejected Disney characters have gone. This is where they are. And so one of the main ones is Blot, which was the original, not the black and white Mickey Mouse you saw, but the basic concept that led into that.
That was Oswald, the
yeah, it was
happy
Blot.
Rabbit thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I was reading like what the gist is basically about. Is Oswald is stuck in the wasteland because he's being forgotten, so he starts making his own Disneyland, and they're like really fucked up, like Donald Duck looking. Yeah.
But nobody has a heart, though, is the big concept in this, and that Mickey Mouse, who's taken into this wasteland, is the only character that has a heart, and he has the strongest heart of all of Disney characters, and the evil scientist wizard guy wants to steal it with a plunger.
Yep.
He wants to pull it right out of his chest with the plunger. And so that's the whole point, is they want Mickey's heart. And it's basically you trying to go through this wasteland to set everything right because you fucked it up as Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
When you change something at the beginning of the game, you fucked everything up, so now you're trying to make it right. And you're going through and you're actually erasing things with the paint thinner. You can erase bridges, walls, trees, and repaint them.
Right, so you're adding hearts to the kingdom?
Yeah, you're basically bringing the whole
thing
alive. Yeah, nice, hearts to the kingdom. Anyway,
you're
painting bridges and stuff, and you're throwing paint thinner in enemies' faces, and they're melting, you know, and it's kind of cool.
And that Warren Spector also said that it's got, like, you could be a good Mickey or a bad Mickey, and it'll actually fucking determine the outcome of the story. I'm like... Really?
Yeah.
Like, going in that much detail.
That's pretty cool. Well, we're going to take a break now and get resettled, and we will be right back after the music.
And say goodbye, John.
Later, guys. Thanks for having me on.
And check him out at thecarouselpodcast.com.
Thank you, Justin.
No problem.
And welcome back. That was our theme music provided by Stretch. What's his name? Michael Schouten? Or Schouten?
Shouten,
that's it. Who's off in South Korea right now.
Yeah, he got there right before the bombs went off.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus. Yeah, that sucks.
He's not there as the army, actually. He teaches English out in South Korea to adults and children, isn't it?
Yeah, adults.
Yeah, just adults. I thought it was children as well.
Have either of you talked to him?
Yeah, on Facebook. He's,
well, yeah, I haven't called him because I can't afford the international rates.
Yeah.
But.
He says his new flat is really pimp, was his choice
of
words.
I mean, after that whole thing, like, is he doing okay?
After what thing? The bombs?
The bombs?
Yeah.
It was shot off on a little island.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I knew there was some, like...
No,
in the
like
water,
his whole neighbors
then...
didn't get like blown up or anything. No,
three people died, but that was like the first time something's happened there in 50 plus
Michael's
years.
Michael's best friend was among them.
Yeah.
What?
I'm just kidding.
His girlfriend was there. She's dead now.
Oh, sad.
It's fine. She wouldn't put out anyways.
She said
they had to get married, otherwise it was a disgrace to her family. Anyways, I love dictators who use their people like pawns. So, talk about North Korea there. All right, let's go ahead and move on. We don't need that type of news. We're going to do some news right now.
Some schnooze.
Yeah,
some schnooze
news. Let's talk
news.
About Turkey.
turkey. It's tasty.
No.
Oh, the other sandy the sandy kind.
The other turkey.
Yeah, the sandy kind. Yeah.
I should bring that up.
Yeah. The one that doesn't make you fall asleep after you've had it. The one that kills you.
Because that could get in
trouble.
What
are you guys talking about?
We got hacked.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, okay.
By Tisk.
By we're not going to mention the group.
No, I'm not going to say anything. I just said Tisk. Tell us what you did.
I cannot.
Yes, you can.
No, I will not. You better shut the fuck up. I can get a lot of trouble for this.
Okay.
Whoa, whoa. Easy with the hostility, homeboy.
So
he's just afraid of mail bombs.
I know.
I'm afraid of pipe bomb be thrown through our window.
Because they'll figure out, like, well, you're working most of the time, so Trent's going to get it.
I'm going to put a sign on the outside of your window that says, "This is my window." Yeah,
but,
insert bomb here.
Actually, we got hacked by a legitimate terrorist group and
from Turkey.
I got back at them, and that's all I'm going to say.
he got back at them pretty good.
Come out to the bar tonight, and we'll tell you.
No. They might send a spy.
It'll be that Iranian guy
it'll be
that's
the
like
dude.
2 foot,
yeah.
2 foot 11 inches tall.
Yeah. I was thinking, actually, some of them are pretty tall, so.
Well, Turkish guys are pretty big, actually.
Yeah, I was about to say. Anyways, under real news. Not stuff that revolves around our egocentric worlds. Speaking of, my news is I only have one piece because I was busy doing other things. But Ingrid Pitt died.
Andrew has hiccups again.
I do have the hiccups.
You sound like you're going to throw up or shit your pants. Anyways, you done? Okay.
Maybe.
Ingrid Pitt, who was born in 1937, died this week. And for those of you who don't know who she is, have you ever seen The Wicker Man or Where Eagles Dare? She is also in, Sea of Dust was one of her last movies. Trying to think, Beyond the Rays, Dominator, Octopussy was another one she was in. She was on the original Doctor Who series. What else have we got? Thriller. Not the Michael Jackson thing, but an actual TV show. House That Drip Blood, some classic horror movies that she did. Also, Doctor Zhivago, which is really
an odd
little thing to throw in that list. But she died this week, which is really sad. She was in a lot of Hammer film movies, and I love Hammer films. Some of the best stuff. You know, when I was growing up, Encore would constantly show Hammer movies. You know, that's the your Draculas and your, you know, all that shit. But anyways. That's all I really have for news.
Oh, I've got a few pieces. Just a little.
Okay, well then, Andrew, why don't you
little bit.
Let's pass it off to Andrew. Oh,
alrighty. We've got Naughty Bears, which I thought it was a cute game.
It was a sadistic.
It was a sadistic game, and it was a little. It got repetitive and a little old.
Yeah, that was my only problem, because I can only scare them into suicide so many times before they just stop being funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they're coming out with a new DLC. Okay. And I thought this was adorable.
Well, Justin already pawned his copy, so it's not like I'm going to get to play it.
I have it. I have the.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. The DLC is Left for Ted, and it's a zombie game.
Okay, that might actually bring me back.
Yeah, so, I thought that name was adorable. Yeah. Assassin's Creed, after being out for just not even 2 weeks, is releasing a new DLC.
When?
I don't know, next month sometime.
Well, what's funny is because, like, with Assassin's Creed 2, when they brought out their DLCs, they popped those things out pretty fast, because they had, I think, how many?
Yeah, the Forley one and then the other one.
Yeah, they popped both of those out.
How many people seriously
right
have beat, have you beat Aspros yet?
Beat what?
Aspros.
Aspros?
What the fuck is Aspros?
Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
Oh, he's trying to be clever. Actually, I beat it last night.
Really?
Really?
Ta-da.
Yep.
Good?
Yes. Fantastic. Oh, nice. I really like it. I'm not even joking.
I'm really kind of pissed off at you right now.
He beat it, but he didn't do all the side shit. He just straight through.
I actually beat it by accident. I was on Sequence 7, and I was on this mission I got stuck on, and I put it away for a little while to play some Splatterhouse, and I got bored of Splatterhouse last night because I'd been playing it all day. And I was like, I want to play some Assassin's Creed, and I put it in, and I beat the spot I was stuck on the first try, and then fucking beat the game about 2 hours later.
Mm. Wow.
So it wouldn't let me pause. It just said accept. It didn't say decline. I couldn't decline it and go back to the side
mission. How long was it altogether, you think, without the side missions?
Okay, if you never touched a side mission, I think you could probably beat it in about 16 hours.
16, nice.
I did side missions. I've put about 30 hours into it. That's and cool. I probably got about another 10 if I want to finish the game.
Yeah, don't pawn off that game yet.
I'm not
going
to pawn it off.
Okay.
No, he loves Assassin's
Creed. Because I want to beat Assassin's Creed 2 and pick that up from you.
Yeah, that's all you, bud.
Well, right, cool. I think we're going to buy it eventually.
Hopefully. Eventually. If we get the internet and play some multiplayer.
Yeah, that's why I want it.
Well, yeah, so I'm actually going to pick it up probably in February.
All right, so the DLC is called the Animus Project Update 1.0.
Yeah, and there's a big fucking plot twist at the end. Just not going to ruin it. Don't Another you. There it leaves it open for a sequel.
Of course.
And
is it going to be in fucking China?
No, it doesn't tell you where, but it looks like maybe they're leading more up to modern times.
Yeah. That's what I've been hoping. No, see, that's
I want one more game. I want to see, like, the Far East.
No, they'll probably keep it, but they're probably going to try more, and start like centering more around.
Some more Desmond.
Yeah. They're gonna. I've been wanting to do this where the bleed effect happens and you start actually doing the assassin jobs in modern day, going after the pharmaceutical company, the puppet for the Templars and stuff in modern day, where you're breaking into like large chateaus and stuff.
I don't know how they would do it, like with actual weapons though. I'd be kind of. Like,
it'd be with batons.
It would be a lot of silent takedowns, is what you're probably looking at.
So you're looking at fucking Splinter Cell. That's what it's turning into.
That's fine.
That's what it is.
That's fine by me. Actually, he becomes Sam Fisher.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm just going to say this before you guys keep talking. You do have the hidden blade in real life.
Mm. Oh, cool.
So that's what I'm saying. Yeah, silent takedowns is probably what they'll aim it at.
So you still have the he's wearing it in half the cutscenes. Yep. You're like. He's got a hidden blade on his arm. What the fuck?
That's not
that
tacky.
Is awesome.
It doesn't match that shirt though.
his long john,
yeah, the gray brown
shirt.
Tandy.
Oh
leather.
No!
He's wearing a white hoodie.
Oh, I thought it was a gray hoodie.
No, he's wearing a duster now.
It's a white.
It's all about the duster.
He's wearing a white hoodie and a backpack.
Duster with no.
And well, so moving on, and our last piece of news is Marky Mark has confirmed that he is doing the a. game to film adaptation of Uncharted.
Ouch. I don't know how I feel about that because that didn't really have a very strong story.
I don't know. I never played it. I thought
is it Uncharted or Uncharted 2?
I don't know. Hopefully they kind of mix them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of want to go back and play them.
Kind of like they would never end story because that's actually well they unmixed it. Sorry, well
that story did end.
Into, yeah, but it was one book turned into the first two movies were actually
false advertisement.
One book, yeah.
One thing, as far as DLC goes, they just released the Fable DLC this week. So, for those of you who don't know that there's already a Fable DLC out with a couple of, like, it's underneath Bowerstone. I haven't gotten it yet.
I repeat, there is a DLC on the floor.
I still have a lot of mixed feelings about Fable. I coming to find that I really like Fable 2 better. So, just saying.
I almost forgot Daniel Day-Lewis got cast to play Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, that's an excellent. Yeah. I forgot about
Abraham
that.
Lincoln and what?
The new
Spielberg.
Yeah, Spielberg movie. It's about life.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to go into the homoerotic relationship he had with his best like lifelong friend.
The one that he wrote all the letters to?
Yeah, you can actually read a book that has all these lost letters from Lincoln to his best friend.
That's kind of weird.
They had a lot of romance back then.
Well, see, that was the thing, because then, guys who would actually, like, you know, they would actually live together and share the same bed, because beds were expensive, and he actually formed this really long-term relationship with this guy.
His bunk buddy.
Yeah, he kept up through letters, and then it was actually revealed that he was more intimate.
Have you seen pictures of his wife, though?
Yeah, I was about to say, he was more intimate with that guy than he was with, I think he was married twice, or was it once?
No, it was once to the crazy.
Twice. Anyway, no, it's Lovecraft that was married twice, sorry. He was more intimate with his best friend through letters than he ever was with his wife, period. And there's this huge bro that would always end each letter with, I love you, miss you, yours, undying, and stuff. And a lot of people speculate that was gay.
Undying.
Yeah, undyingly. And I was just like, that's not really gay at that time. You know, that was actually pretty...
Well, Andrew always tells me he loves me.
Yeah.
I do tell you. I love you.
He calls me Pumpkin.
I know. He's very endearing.
Yeah.
I'm a nice guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't say any of that to me.
Yep.
He doesn't need to.
I'm like,
I mean, just
make me mac and cheese.
Just look at you. I mean, come on.
Aww.
Anyway, but yeah.
That's all I have on news.
Okay, well then let's go ahead and skip out
on
that.
There's one other thing I wanted to mention because I like zombies a lot.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Walking Dead?
Walking Dead's numbers are off the fucking charts.
We haven't seen last week's episode.
I'm not going to say anything about the episodes, but they're around 5 million right now.
Jeez.
The only show on cable television that's beating right now...
That little bitch.
Hannah Montana.
Fucking
he just had
are
an
18th kidding
birthday
me?
Party.
But, yeah. like, Boardwalk
Hannah
Empire
Montana?
Is at, like, 1.5 million. Dexter's at, like, 2.
Yeah.
Walking Dead's at almost 5.
Yeah. Hannah Montana.
Well, my fear...
Well, there's a lot of a lot of kids watch that. A lot of people buy programming just for their children, and Hannah Montana's pretty big in the whole Disney thing. You know?
Yeah, but at the same time, my fear is that now that she's 18, a lot of older perverts are going to start watching Hannah Montana. So
kinda
those
like
numbers are going to go up. Yeah, they were watching
them
before they were legal, and then they stopped when they turned 18.
Yeah, I guess. Fuck
like, we know some guy here in town that had a Olsen's Olsen Twins 18th birthday
ridiculous.
Party. I didn't go. I was just like, I'm not condoning this.
I was like,
this.
Fuck that.
Yeah,
that's
this does
gross.
Not this
he
does
had
not
a
sound fun.
Birthday
he had a birthday party.
Well, it was
for my cousins,
like a party at a club.
Yeah, for your cousins Olsen. Yeah, it was a birthday party at a club to celebrate that the Olsens were turning 18. I was just like, I'm not going to that because everybody who's there is pretty much saying,
so,
I've been obsessed with them since I was 12.
So, what does everyone think of them now?
Not a whole lot since Heath Ledger died and one of them was kind of involved, but. Well, they think one has an eating disorder, and the other one, well, she just looks like she needs an eating disorder, so to excuse the skinniness. But they are fucking wafer yeah, thin.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was about to say wraith, but
they are like wraiths at this point.
Wraith.
Their eyes are. They're real sunk in. <and creepy. laughs> They take souls. They usher. They're like the crows for the crow. They usher souls back and forth between this world and the next. And it's pretty scary. But anyways, off of that and on to comedy. Now, last week we did what was your favorite weapon in any game?
Mm-hmm.
I said the Fat Man.
You said the Fat Man from Fallout.
I forgot what I said.
You said Drill Bucket.
Drill Bucket.
Drill Bucket. Okay, Holly, you went
I had
with
the Hidden Blade.
The Hidden
from
Blade.
Assassin's Creed.
Okay, and I think we did two each.
I had the Katana.
Yeah, the Katana. And I went with... This machine from New Vegas, as well as I think it was the baseball bat from Left 4 Dead.
Okay,
part two.
Well,
so
I've got a couple people are telling me because of course I threw it up on Facebook and people gave me some options, and I got from Andy. He said energy sword from Halo.
Nice.
Yeah.
And he also said the Farsight. From Perfect Dark. You remember the...
Yeah.
You could see through walls and shoot
through
walls?
Oh, yeah, it was like a railgun.
Yeah. Yep. It was really cool. Jordan M. said Cerebral Bore from Turok.
Actually, that was pretty
cool.
I was
pretty impressed when he told me that. And let's
like,
see.
I'm surprised if we have something in common now. Other than being both douchebags.
Keith R. said Beam Rifle from Halo 3.
Oh, yeah, the focus rifle.
Yep.
Yep.
Vincent K. said the M4 from Battlefield Bad Company 2.
Nice.
Let's see here. Jeff A. said Golden Gun from GoldenEye.
Yeah, the one, one hit kill. Yeah.
Let's see here. Keith R. he sent in another one saying the Nintendo pistol for Duck Hunt.
That's not really. You could say the hunter's rifle.
And then Casey said BFG 9000 off of Duke of Nukem.
Nice.
And I think the winner for
I had a couple.
Oh, okay, go for it.
Okay, we had the portal gun.
Oh,
because you could
nice.
Use it to knock out the floor and drop
from
turrets
who?
And kill them.
Yeah, that's
they don't want to be talked about. So you know, I was like, okay, I had that one. Sorry, they didn't. That was pretty much the only one.
Okay. So then I think the winner, I'm just going to assume everybody else is going to agree with this one, a pea-covered snowball from South Park for the N64.
I don't know. I kind of like the Portal one.
Yeah.
Shut your face.
I like the Portal or the BFG, yeah.
I thought the pea-covered snowball was pretty funny. So that's that.
What about ice cream cones from The Simpsons? Where you can just throw ice cream cones at people.
And so... Oh, crap.
About Toe Jam and Earl, the beatbox. You could use the beatbox as a weapon.
I like the guitar from Dead Rising 2 when he put it up to the little mobile amp.
I remember
they did the power cord and it blows yeah. guys' heads off.
I remember what I said. I actually said that Dark Sector. It was the genetic crawl thing, the Goliath that you get. Yeah,
I thought you had the guitar from Dead Rising, or was that was Scott. That was Scott. Yeah,
no, not Dead Rising. Actually, he said Left 4 Dead.
Was it Left 4 Dead?
Yeah, because I said the bass player was cool, but that I liked the Goliath thing from Dark Sector as well as the other one that I said. I don't remember what I said, even though I was there when I said it. So
yeah.
How many times are you going
to
say?
Said. It's like, I know what I said because I was there when I said it, and I know what I said since I'd be saying it.
All right, so
anyway.
You want to introduce next week's?
Yeah, next week's we're going to do a really fun one. And this one is for everybody, and this is going to include handhelds, consoles. We're even talking about PC peripherals. Does not matter. We're going to say, what is your favorite controller for any gaming system type? Because all of us had different kinds we like. Like, Justin, what's one of your faves?
I actually like the Dreamcast controller. I don't own a Dreamcast anymore, but I still have the
controller.
You can
get it for $20.
Yeah, I should.
There's great games like Slave Zero. Yeah,
I agree. I still have
Record
the
of Lotus War.
You're going to fucking shut up.
Yeah, yeah.
I still have the controller with the
Code Veronica?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. And it has the memory card.
That was
a
Resident Evil game, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Go ahead.
I'm going to punch him. But yeah.
Nuts!
On the memory card, it had a little like thing that you could play. It had a little controller on
yeah.
it, which I thought was really fucking cool.
The cool thing was the memory cards, when you plugged them in, they'd actually do little images.
Yeah.
Yeah, like for Resident Evil, it would actually have the little green herb would show up on there.
Yeah.
It looked like marijuana.
I remember Sega, it had those little egg things, and they're rolling
yeah.
around.
Yeah.
It looked like little Tamagotchis.
Yeah. Actually, Omicron, David Bowie's video game. The
No
Man's Soul was on GameCube, and they released it for PC at the same time.
It
no PC.
It was on Dreamcast.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They released it for Dreamcast and PC. No PC could run that game properly at the time, because it was just such a huge fucking game for its time. It's an open world, big cities, you know, with a lot of, like, you know, you could see very far away. And it sucked on PC, and then I played on Dreamcast. Fucking loved it. It was badass. It played so well. So, Andrew, what's your favorite controller?
I'd probably have to go with the N64 controller.
Good controller.
Yeah.
I really like that. I mean, with GoldenEye, you actually had a trigger, which it was left hand, which was a little weird, but...
Also, Star Wars Pod Racer, you could use two controllers to actually simulate the...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, my brain just stopped. But yeah, I really like that. It was multifunctional, it's comfortable.
Yep.
And great nostalgia. That was like the height of my video game playing career.
Nice. Your career.
Question?
It's like I was known throughout the West. Anyways. Holly.
I honestly didn't know we were doing this. I was too busy cutting my pizza.
Well, that's
listen.
Your fault.
Yeah, that is my fault. But speaking of controllers.
Pizza?
No, okay. Controllers. Xbox came out with their new controller. It's a silver controller with the raised D-pad.
I was actually looking at that.
It's very slightly raised. Like, it's not
Yeah, that's why it is. What you do is, I was actually looking at buying one. What you do is you can change it between raised and unraised.
Oh, really?
So you can make it a regular D-pad that's got the little, just little tiny, you know, raised up things. Or you can twist it.
Okay.
And what that does is it lowers the back panel, so then you have a very defined D-pad.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can see how that'd be beneficial for if you're playing shooters where you got to keep switching things, you know, like weapons.
Yeah.
I can see how that'd be handy if you're doing fast action packed games. But then I was like,
I see it breaking
stuff
pretty quick.
It looked pretty sturdy, but stuff like Halo, you don't really use that D-pad very often for anything when you're doing matchmaking.
It'd be pretty cool to have it like when you're playing like Worms Armageddon.
Yeah, to have a D-pad like that. Or just have something where you have, like, auto weapon changes, like
anything
on, say,
like
Fallout
Red
New
Dead.
Vegas.
Yeah,
Red Dead. Things where you can actually assign the D-pads to have function. That's where it becomes an actual interest for me. That's about it for that. So that is that your choice? Or
Wii remote?
Just something that you enjoy.
I don't like Wii.
Just something you enjoy having in your hand that feels natural.
Mine's not natural.
Mine vibrates.
Yours is kind of crooked like a cockroach. Right?
I have no idea. I don't have
a
favorite.
Like a pigtail.
What about the duck hunt gun?
I would say
really controller.
Duck hunt.
It
yeah,
is definitely a controller.
Number one, it was not just for duck hunt. It was for Hogan's Alley as well. Fucking call it Hogan's Alley.
What about the chainsaw? Wasn't there a chainsaw controller?
There was a chainsaw controller that was released for, I want to say it was Resident Evil.
I do too.
No, it was one of the new, number five.
Like PS2 or...
Was it? No, yeah, it was PlayStation 2's fucking and GameCube, it was the fucking Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, the chainsaw thing that was put out. Did you ever use that?
No, no. I just thought it was kind of cool. Okay.
Yeah, it was kind of cool and all that. But let's see. So what would you go with?
Yeah, I don't know.
Bass Pro Shop reel.
You like that? You like that?
No, the Cabela gun. Cabela?
Cabela.
Cabela?
Okay,
yeah.
The Cabela gun.
No, that's sarcasm. Yeah. I haven't used it. It just looks ridiculous, but yeah. I don't have a favorite.
Cabela's Big Game Hunting? Come on. I watched a preview.
Big Game Hunter.
I watched a preview for that today, and I was just like watching. I was like, that looks pretty intense. I would not play it, but it looked... You got the
intense,
sight.
Like
you put the sight up to your eye and actually shows you what's going on the screen. It zooms in on the animal so you can
as intense as a Cookin' Mama?
As intense as blind phlebotomy. Drawing blood in the dark. That's about that's about as intense as it. Because that can be pretty nerve-wracking.
All right, so what's your...
Infiltrative vein. Let me see. The Dreamcast is a great controller. It's always fun. I'm going to have to go back to Sega.
Oh,
Sega.
Yeah.
I'm surprised nobody said the ginormously large Xbox controller, the original.
The original was really annoying.
I know, it was like
especially
holding a brick.
Especially with the black and clear button.
Or just Atari.
Atari was a great controller. Fit right in the palm of the hand with a button on the side, and you just twist the top.
Yep.
So, it's like opening a pill bottle. Yeah, it was great. I loved it. But I would have to go with Sega because the Sega controller was small. It was round on the sides, so it fit really well. You know, when you're curving your fingers around the sides, and you got good, you know, just anchorage while you're doing like Mortal Kombat.
Not boxy.
Bashing
or...
the buttons, you know. Yeah. You could put it down on your lap, and it would lay flat, so you could do the endurance challenges on games. If you do that on, like, say, the Xbox controller, it's got that battery pack, so it bulbs out in the back, so it tilts back and forth. So you gotta sit there and tap it at
too wobbly.
Makes it hard to do endurance challenge crap. And the buttons were a lot closer together, so it's easier to do multi-button hits when you're doing combos and stuff. Nowadays, I actually feel like I almost got to use two fingers just to hit X and B. So,
yeah.
Yep.
All right, so that's the end of that's our suggestion. So,
yeah, that's pretty much the end of it. So, give us your submissions, and you can email us at tiltcast@rocketmail.com.
Right, and to plug the other two or three sites we like to plug.
Mm-hmm.
John, of course, at thecarouselpodcast.com, tvbgp.tv, they do good things.
Yep.
And then they do good things.
And then there's also the Bombcast.
They do stuff.
Which, it's giantbomb.com.
Yep. And one last thing, we're not going to be doing a gauntlet because, well, it's a fucking holiday.
Yep.
And we are going to be uploading the Fallout spoiler cast. Probably
sometime.
Saturday evening late.
Yeah, that's what we want to do.
Yeah, and it'll be up for Sunday. And also it'll be... So that means for the people going to work on Monday, it'll be available. And now we're going to do some new releases that are coming out, and then we're going to be taking off at that point. Let's go ahead and take a look at what we got here. So for big news for Macintosh owners...
Woo!
Andrew, which you already have this.
I know.
Yeah, but
it only works
on
Casey's computer, which sucks.
Yeah, you already have this for PC. Sid Meier's Civ 5 is going to be coming out for Macintosh. It actually did already come out on the 23rd, which was yesterday.
Well, I wonder if I can do the Steam ported over.
Find out. They might. I don't know. So, moving on from that, we did have Splatterhouse come out yesterday as well. Great fucking game. Then we have Poker Night at the Inventory for Mac and PC. That sounds interesting. Sort of. Then we have Hot Wheels Track Attack for the DS and the Wii. We also have Beat Sketcher for the PlayStation 3 network. Then we're going to have Spelunker HD as well for this PlayStation 3 network. Dance Dance Revolution is coming out for Wii, and that was released yesterday. Auditorium was released. We've also got Pac-Man, which we were talking about earlier, was released for PlayStation Network yesterday. We have Gran Turismo 5, which we were talking about last week. It's been around for a long time. We have Blue Toad Murder Files comes out today. Chaser for PC as well. And now for next week's, the big one everybody's looking forward to is Epic Mickey for the Wii.
Yep,
that comes out on the 30th. A lot of people very excited about that. Then we're going to have Dead Nation for the PlayStation 3 Network. Here's another big one, Worms Armageddon for the PlayStation 3 Network as well. We're going to have Golden Sun Dark Dawn for the DS. Now, that's actually been on Wii as well. They have some Wii titles.
That's a pretty big title.
Yeah, they do. Then we got Super Meat Boy coming out for Mac and PC. We're going to have Nailed, sounds uncomfortable, for PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and PC. Shortly after that, on the 1st, we're going to have some Trackmania Turbo for the DS, as well as Trackmania release for the Wii. So that's all that's coming out next week. And don't forget, starting next month, beginning of the month, on the 7th, is going to be Tron Evolution for PSP, PS3, 360, and PC. And right now, I don't remember the address for it. We'll have to put it on the website, but you can actually go online and you can play a Flash version of the Light Cycles game, which is actually track racing. And so you're actually racing through traffic and everything. But they also have Disc of Tron and the original Tron game on there to play the full versions as well for free on the website. We'll keep a link on there. So, anyways, until next time, this is Trent.
Holly.
Andrew.
And Justin.
Yeah, and keep gaming.
Keep your game.